Welcome to Forex Overland and the Adventure Travel Inspiration Podcast. My name is Andrew St. Pierre White. This podcast is brought to you in association with BF Goodrich Tires. The discussion that Paul Marsh and I had this day was about tanks, water tanks, and keeping healthy. For those of you who are unfamiliar, Paul Marsh is an associate of mine. He works from Cape Town, and his specialty is overland expedition vehicle preparation. And he has, I wonder how many million kilometres it is, how much experience he actually has under his belt in travelling in less developed countries. He's crossed most continents. I don't know if he's actually been around the world in order, but he's travelled on every continent. Except I don't think he has been to Antarctica. So there you go, all seven continents. I digress. The discussion we had is about water tanks and health. And the reason why we felt this was important is because storing water in a water tank can be a problem, because the water can go bad without one knowing it. And then you drink water that tastes palatable, and yet it can cause problems, health problems. And also what material tanks are and should be built from. So we go through it in quite a bit of detail. And Paul, having built hundreds of overland trucks, and myself, I built, only about 15 of them or so. There's a lot of valuable information ahead. I hope you enjoy it.
Thank you very much. Beautiful campsite on the edge of the Ngai. I'm not sure how he said it this morning. He had a slight click when he said it last night. Ngai. Pans, and we're in far, far eastern Namibia. I thought we would talk this morning about water tanks and fuel tanks, and basically we're carrying water and carrying fuel. Heavy things.
Important, eh?
Very.
People often get it wrong and carry too much or too little.
Because of the weight issue, it's obviously we're talking about as low down as possible far forward as possible. Yeah. Should we speak firstly about water? Let's talk about water first, maybe.
And what are we aiming to do? You know, the real aim in this whole process of these two items you've got to carry, because they're the two heaviest items you carry. You can leave a lot of other stuff behind, but you've got to have enough water and enough fuel.
Yes.
And more often than not, I find when people want to build vehicles or when they're planning their trips, they don't have any idea of how much they're going to need of either.
You mean they're guessing?
They're guessing, totally. And when you're guessing, you're erring on the side of caution, and you end up carrying way too much. So let's go with water.
Yeah, I think I probably do that myself, actually. I like the insurance policy in my head, that security that if something goes wrong, that at least I've got water.
Yeah. So water, I always say to any of my clients that I work with, you must carry 20 litres of emergency water you do not tap into. That 20 litres, isn't it? 20
That's
litre
out
can.
Of the equation. It's put out of the equation.
It's generally a separate 20 litre water can. So if your water tank burst or it split or anything like that happened, you've got 20 litres you can rely on. From there, you can make a plan. You can last a fair bit of time on 20 litres.
Right.
But if you haven't got that because your tank is split or someone left the tap open, you've lost everything.
The way I've looked at that in my vehicles, certainly my last one, I like the idea of two tanks, because if one breaks, I've got a fallback. Otherwise, if you put all your water in one tank and it splits or breaks, you're in trouble. You could be in trouble.
No, it's a good point. And you're not always so easy practically, to practically build two tanks into a vehicle. So generally when you're trying to build a water tank into a vehicle, as we've already talked, you need to get your weight as low down as possible between the axles.
Yes.
To get your center of gravity really nicely balanced out.
Right.
Now, if you can achieve that, mounting a water tank underneath, it's made of a stainless steel normally. Stainless steel is brittle. It's a much harder product than a mild steel tank. So it's much more susceptible to being cracking, especially if it gets bumped underneath.
Yes.
And if it's not mounted or built correctly, they fracture. So, a lot of resonance vibration on bad corrugations puts a lot of stress through those welds on the stainless steel tank. And not everyone purge welds the tank, where you weld on the outside and you put a gas on the inside and it basically welds from the inside and the outside. It's quite a unique process.
Okay.
But if you're able to build these tanks, and I'm no expert in building tanks, but I would say that a well-built tank is going to be going to last as long as it's properly mounted to the chassis.
Okay. So you really have to, you can't really just go, you've got to go to the specialists.
You need a specialist who has built tanks and has got a long history of building tanks so that they've gone through the teething process. People have come back and this hasn't worked and that hasn't worked.
And that's a good point, because I know of some companies that got into the tank business and actually got out of the tank business because they had a lot of failures. I think you're saying it's a highly specialized thing to do.
Just the welding process alone is so specialized. So if you don't go and get properly high-educated, highly trained welders to weld your tanks, you really have a problem.
Okay.
But there are some people who build some really good tanks on the market.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, when you're putting water into a vehicle, it's always going to occupy the space you need for storage, this great big bulky tank.
Yes.
And it is much easier to put a tank inside if you can create that space. Because it's a loose tank, you can put it in. You get some quite good rotomolded. You've seen some of the rotomolded tanks.
Yes.
They're brilliant. It's a plastic tank.
The brand that I know of well is Scepter. It's a Canadian make.
Yeah.
You can't get them everywhere. You can get them in the US. There is a importer into South Africa, I know, but I don't know if they're still current. I
haven't seen many.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Very common in the US and Canada. Yeah.
You see, just that's
so beautifully
spec,
made. You can just see just by picking them up and just opening the lid how well they're made. So you're saying, okay, a separate tank, you're probably going to be carrying it in the water. You need to strap it down because you've got this heavy...
If it's inside, you're going to definitely strap it down. And it's got to be strapped down to good anchor points because that's a lot of weight. And if you have an accident and that weight moves... So generally, if you've got seats, you're going to put a tank behind the seats.
Mm.
You get some quite nice tanks that they take the same rake as the seats.
Yes, the angle behind the seat. Yes.
So it doesn't encroach too much onto your space in the back. And that works very well. That built into a storage system in the rear of your car is a good solution. It does mean that the vehicle is the weight is as close to the rear axle as possible.
Yeah,
on the inside of the
forward,
car.
Forward, yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that helps. And then short of that, you've got a tank underneath the car, if you're going to build a tank underneath the car. Now, not everyone wants to go to that expense. You can just put jerry cans in the car. But the mistake people make, or the danger, I think, is that they don't mount them properly, or they don't fit them properly, so you've got loose 20-litre jerry cans floating around the car. So wherever you're going to put something that of that sort of weight, remember, if that car rolls, that 20 kilograms is flying around the car.
Yeah, no, it can be lethal.
Absolutely.
I am absolutely against water tanks on the roof.
No, exactly.
Just, it's the wrong place for a water tank. It might be convenient, but it is unsafe.
You know,
I just think it's a bad idea.
Like anything, and we'll talk about fuel tanks too, there may be 1%...
Yes.
In all your traveling, or even 3%.
Yes.
For some other people, maybe a bit more, that you need that extra water or the extra fuel. And then if you have to put water in on a back seat or behind your driver's seat and passenger seat, strap it down. Fantastic. You get some of these water bladders. You can fill them up.
Yes,
you
I've
can
seen.
Lie them down.
Mm.
But that's really a temporary measure. You don't want to use that as your everyday water.
No.
You know, a water tank fixed in properly is really a good idea.
To me, convenience around the campsite is increased exponentially by a simple tap at the back of the vehicle where you can just get the water and you don't have to. To me,
it's a huge difference.
It's really a no-brainer. It's one of the first things that I will design into a vehicle is I want water and I want it easy.
Yeah, I don't like the tap on the outside. For one, it always gets a bit of dirt in.
Yeah.
You need to make sure you get a good, robust tap.
Yeah.
Fancy little taps break.
No, there's fancy little shower taps and things.
You
know,
they really don't work.
Apart.
You want a lever tap. It's a ball valve tap. It opens or closes. It really works.
Yeah.
Now, most of these tanks are gravity fed. Yeah. If you're putting a tank into the chassis, you're going to need a pump to draw the water out of it. Small little SureFlow pump or something like that. You can actually, when we build tanks, we put gauges in. So you can actually have quite a good gauge for your tank, which is very nice.
Yeah.
On the tanks that you put inside the car, it's a bit more difficult. You can still put gauges into those. Otherwise, you just have a simple dipstick.
Yeah, I actually prefer the dipstick.
Yeah,
thing.
The dipstick,
keep simple, minutes.
Bit of wood.
It's not complicated.
Bit of Velcro, you stick it on.
And you mark it with little... We used to do that with aeroplanes.
Yeah,
we used to always have a wood and dipstick. We would never trust the thing in the cockpit. That lies through its teeth. You want to know. And
I used to have a spoke with a cork on it that used to push up.
Oh, really?
Remember that?
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah.
So, okay, so we'll leave the fuel tanks for another discussion, because also, what about grey water and drinking water?
Mm.
With the, having the two tanks was really nice, because I'd come to a riverbed and where the water was okay, perfectly okay for showering, washing, even washing dishes, but not okay for drinking. And then my, my clean water tank, which was always on my left, only drinking water. Drinking water.
So if you could set that up, that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. I would actually go a step further. If I was going really remote, I would put a purifier in. You know, purifiers are not expensive.
Mm.
You get these cartridges that you, you can put together. One will be a pre-filter. You can either get a little sieve that the water goes through, and then you get something which removes the sediment, which is cheap and easy to replace, and then you get your actual cartridge which houses your carbon and your KDF and that. And that is worth putting into a vehicle. And I know solutions, guys are working on solutions on compacting that for four-wheel drive industries, because I've spoken to a few guys about doing that. There's some great solutions around the world for purification.
Right.
You know, out of England, out of America, compact small units. Mm. Now, that means that any water you drink or use, if you've got the luxury of two tanks, that's fantastic. But if you haven't, you can actually plumb it through, that actually it goes through a purifier, and then you know.
Do you have a bypass of water you're using for washing and showering? You're bypassing it, because it does consume the filter.
Yes, it consumes,
over a period
of course.
Of time.
You just put a T in the junction. So you open up the tap for the shower or for the outlet for the dishes, and that bypasses the purifier. Okay. It's all worked on pressure. And that's a good solution. Yeah.
Cleaning tanks. So after a long period of time, the water can get a little bit. It has a strange kind of feel to it.
It's a slimy type.
It's slightly slimy, but it doesn't even smell at that point. So you can't really tell by smelling. Cleaning tanks, are there specific chemicals you know of
I've always told people when they're going to get a good fill of water is to drain the tank. So every tank that gets fitted, a nice, decent drain.
Get rid of the old water.
Drain the old water out completely, not through the purifier, the pump or anything. Just drain the water out. And then you know you've got rid of 90% of the problems are in there, okay? And then always a fresh fill of water when you can get nice water. Now, most campsites, you're going to find a hose. You're going to be able to fill your tank up. Generally, the local people and even the people working the campsite will drink that water, but their bodies are much more accustomed to it.
Oh, yeah.
Where you've stepped off an aeroplane from another first world country or a modern city where you're not used to drinking that water, there's no ways that you can expect your body to just adapt
it
to that
won't.
Water.
It won't. It will take a sickness for it to adapt.
Yeah, and that will be the worst hard lesson. You don't want to go there.
No, you don't want to go there.
So that's it.
I once spent 4 days in a toilet in Shikawi looking up the yellow hornbills.
Really?
I'd drunk bad water.
Yeah, I think we've all had that experience in a story.
Just so stupid of me. If I look back at it and thought, what were you thinking? But anyway,
but it's so
it
easily
happens.
Done. It's so easily happens, done. Yeah. So, you know, we all talk about the little... You know, don't eat water, drink water with ice in it and stupid things like that. You can do it without even thinking. So, you know, it's always good that if you've got your water, make sure it's clean and purified. To clean the tanks, I often take, you know, you get these Sterident tablets that people use to clean dentures and that.
Oh, okay. So what would you do? You would fill the water. You put
through a few of those in. Don't drink the water. Just rinse it.
Rinse it with those. Leave it in there for 24 hours and then rinse it and then refill.
And Milton's another thing you can use.
Oh, yes, I've heard of that.
Milton
works
too.
That's good.
Yeah, you can put some Milton in and do that. Milton's easy. Carry a bottle of Milton.
Okay.
So, you know, it's really about not coming home and leaving that water in your tank that just sits there.
Mm.
Or, you know, making sure you flush it out properly before you go on expedition. And that your filters, also your purifier filters and sedimenters, you'll come back from a trip and they'll just sit. And people don't think about that.
So you've actually got a collection of potentially dirty water sitting in the bowl.
So take them out. You know,
take
if you're coming back
an expedition,
they're easy. Most of them you just unscrew.
And can you store them dry?
Yeah, you could store them dry. I mean, they come dry. I would just say if you've done a big trip, the cartridges are that cheap. Just wash it out, clean it out, and put new ones when you go again. You just don't want the risk for that small price. And a lot of people like to buy bottled water, and I'm really don't like using bottled water if I can avoid it. And you do. If you don't have a purifier. And then you're carrying all this collection of plastic bottles around, and what do you do with all these plastic bottles?
Like we have
like
on
we
this
have.
Trip.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we don't have purifiers in these vehicles.
Yeah.
And so, yes, you do that. You buy the bulky bottle of water and decant it into a drinkable bottle.
Mm.
So, yeah, that's another way. You've got your bottled water.
Okay.
And you boil most water.
Yeah. That's so, about yeah. it, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good. Thank you.
Don't drink bad water.
don't sit on... Don't...
don't go
oh,
there.
It was bad. It was bad.
This podcast has been brought to you in association with Forex Overland and BF Goodrich Tires. Producer, Kate White.